Okay, well, this morning's message is kind of a word study on the word dust and how God formed us from the dust of the ground. And we'll kind of see that dust represents the earth and being tied to the physical and the temporal. And we'll talk about how God delivers us from being tied to this earth. So I'm going to start out from Genesis, because that's where we first hear about this. In Genesis 2:7, it says that Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we were created out of the dust, out of the ground. And then more, the main text I have is in Genesis 3. And this, of course, is after the woman and her husband took the fruit from that the serpent convinced her to do. And then when God found them, here in verse 14, he says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." And we see that God's curses on the world have to do with the dust of the ground. First, he tells the serpent, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'm not sure what it means by eating dust. I don't know if it's with snakes sticking out their tongues, it's almost like they're licking the dust. But Satan was kind of tied to this world. And he is the prince of this world. And when the world is destroyed, Satan goes with it. So I don't, for whatever that's worth, there's this dust tied to the serpent as well. But regarding us, God said that Adam was made from dust and will return to dust. And we'll talk more about that a little later. So then he tills the ground from whence he was taken. Let's see, I think I'll kind of make more comments on this as we read different verses too. So being made from dust kind of is a shadow over our relationship with God. In Genesis 18:27, Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So there's the fact that we're made from dust is means that we're of different substance than God. God himself wasn't made from anything, but the fact that we came from the ground shows that we are created. It shows that we're temporal. Job 4:17 says, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die, even without wisdom. So this is just contrasting us and God. And in Job, they talked a lot about, there was a lot of discussion about the difference in perspective between us and God. And here it's saying that God is so much higher than us. And even the angels, which God created, he cast down those who rebelled against him. How much more men, he says, whose foundation is in the dust. Like we were built on dust. And he's talking about the temporality of men. You know, things that are made out of dirt don't last very long. Like eventually just kind of disintegrates and goes back to dirt. Well, the same with us. We eventually disintegrate and go back to the earth. And this is in complete contrast to God. Mm-hmm. So I think when we hear the word dust, we should see that as related to the shortness of our life. And that we don't have eternal existence.
Amen.
So then I want to talk about how we can't escape the earth. Let's see, Psalm 44:24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. So that word cleave means to, is held onto, is stuck to, can't escape. So it says, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. So we're stuck on this earth as being created by dust, or from dust. This is, of course, in light of the Adam's sin. But Adam was told that he started as dust and he would go back to dust. Mm-hmm. It's like he tried to get up off the ground, and God created him and made him for something greater, and then by sinning, he was eventually succumb to the pull of earth, and the ground claims us as our source. There's not any progress heavenward to be made there. This is typified in the Tower of Babel from Genesis 11:2. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So what they were worried about, them being lost, and their memory being lost and scattered. So they tried to make this monument to reach up to heaven, and they made it out of brick, which they made from the ground, and they fired the brick and used that for stone as their building blocks. And you see, today there is no Tower of Babel. God destroyed it. And in the same way, no matter what we try to build upon our earthly achievement, eventually we can never escape the earth. We can never make it to heaven. Job 17:14, I have said to corruption, thou art my father, and to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where now is my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. Ecclesiastes 3:18, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might be seen, they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. And so Solomon is saying that how is man any different than a beast? You know, they're born and they live, and that they die and they go back to dust. You know, and that the first verse I read, it said that Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But then God said that the day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. It was like the living soul that we had died. And like there was, yes, there's more to man than just a body. And we're not entirely like the beasts. But the more that is to us has been corrupted by sin. And so, in a sense, how is man more than a beast if there's not a living, quickened spirit within him? I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but we lost the life in our soul, I guess is what I'm saying. We see that this is universal, that nobody can escape it. It's not that just most people go back to dust. Everybody eventually succumbs to the earth. Job 34:15, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Then also in Job 21:23, one dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. So Job is here seeing that even those who are prosperous and those who are in poverty, they all have this same problem, that they return back to the dust. And the wealth of the rich can't keep them from having the same fate as the poor. We all have this problem. And why is it? It's because of sin. Job 20:11. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. So there's sin with us, and sin is kind of ties us to the earth, and it brings our body down back into the dust. And as man died spiritually when we sinned, so that sin eventually brings us. The trajectory is downward toward the earth until we finally are brought back to the earth from whence we came. Sin also obligates God to return it to dust. God, his character is to judge sin. And therefore, it's not just a principle of the way that the world is, but it's also God himself actively destroys sin. And apart from him, or apart from Christ, we are full of sin. Job says, "Why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be." Once again, sin, of course, is tied with death, and death is us going back to the dust from which we came. "Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into the dust again?" Yes, eventually we will be brought back to dust. Isaiah 26:5, "For he bringeth down them that dwell on high in the lofty city. He layeth it low, he layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust." So once this is God bringing it down. But even in the context of our inability to escape from the earth, and us returning to where we came, making no real progress, it seems, starting at dust and ending at dust, yet there, God is not satisfied with that situation.
Amen.
In Psalm 30, verse 9, he asks, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?" So God didn't create us just to go back to the dust from whence we came. God wanted someone to praise him and to declare his truth. And when we go back to the dust, that doesn't bring him glory. That was not his design. And so God is wants to do something about this. Psalm 104 Verse 27, he's talking about the natural creation, but it's a type of what he's doing with us. "These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." Mm-hmm. So even as the natural creation, we see many examples of it returning and then God bringing life up from it again. Mm-hmm. God is able to bring life up from that which has died and gone back to dust.
Amen.
Isaiah 51:6. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." So this world and everything attached to it, they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. Yet God promises that he has salvation that's forever. Righteousness won't be abolished. This is something of different substance than dust. This is something that's not going to go back and be futile and destroyed. But in order to do that, Jesus had to become a man. In a sense, he had to become made out of the dust of the ground. When Elihu, in Job, he says to Job, "Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee." And here he was a type of Christ in that Job wanted his audience with God, and yet he knew that God would just destroy him. Yet Elihu says, "I also am formed out of the clay." Well, Jesus also was born a man, as born into this state of being formed out of the dust. And he also experienced this going back to dust. Psalm 22:11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." And so God told Adam that he would return to the dust from which he was made. And here Jesus went through that punishment of being brought into the dust of death. So Jesus became a man and experienced death. And that is how that he can deliver us from this. What he was addressing was sin. Psalm 103:10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." So he talks about God forgiving our sins and taking away our sins as far as the east is from the west. He knows that we are dust and that we are passing away, but it says the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. So even as our bodies are temporary, God is bringing something eternal and giving something eternal to us. This eternal mercy. Isaiah 64:6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, and that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people." We are the clay, and there's wickedness, and our iniquities took us away, and our righteousnesses were nothing. They couldn't escape us or help let us escape from the earth. And yet the Lord is our Father. And he's praying that the Lord wouldn't remember our iniquities. And in going with this theme of God being our potter, Jeremiah 18:1 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." So God made the vessel the first time, and we marred the vessel, and yet God, as the potter, can still remake it, and He can change that which is destined to go back to dust. So we now can be free from the dust. We can be lifted up from the chain which ties us to this world. I believe this is Hannah saying in 1 Samuel 2:6, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." So the poor, that would be all of us, he can raise up out of the dust, and he can give us this throne of glory. A similar passage in Psalm 113 5 says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things in heaven, the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people." God lifts us up. And it talks about the throne in that one passage, and then princes. He makes us royal, and he saves us from this attachment to the earth. Psalm 119:25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." And just as that previous psalm talked about being... Let me read that. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. God is the one who can quicken us. He can keep us from being stuck here on the earth. He can keep us from ending our lives with no progress made. He can keep us from returning to square zero. Isaiah 26:18. "We have been with child, we have been in pain, as it were brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen." But then he says, "Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." So if we were dwelling in dust, and yet we have this promise that that won't be the end, that we won't return to dust and be gone. We won't be like Solomon talked about, being like the beasts and just going back and there's nothing left. The earth is going to cast out its dead. Daniel 12:2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever."
Amen.
We see the stars, and the stars have existed for thousands of years. These are things which are outside the earth. They're not made of the dust of the earth. And Daniel prophesied that we will, even those who are sleeping in the dust, those who have died and it seems like they're gone, yet we will be forever. We will live as the stars. And then one more, Isaiah 65:25. Says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." So this is God told Satan that dust he would eat all the days of his life. Well, here it says, "Dust shall be the serpent's meat." This is... In Isaiah 65, it's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. And Satan is going to be stuck here with the old earth. He's going to be destroyed with the dust. Like we can escape from it, but Satan will be left far away from the realm that we're going to be in. So I just saw, see, early on in the creation of the world, Satan was able to kind of lock us to the world. And now Satan is going to be locked away from where we are. And so not only will we have escaped, but we will never be able to be brought back. Never have a chance of having futility brought back into our existence. All right, so does anybody have any comments or corrections on that?
I'm just thinking that on that point that you made, that dust is associated with the earth. And I was thinking when you were talking about that, that the dust also is associated with things that are not of God. Because when Jesus told his disciples to go, he told them they didn't receive your peace to shake the dust off of your shoes. So that was kind of an association of things that are not of God. Shake off the dust of that ungodly city or the ungodly house. And I was thinking also that dust is of no value. I can't think of anything that dust has a value in. I really don't. So you see that it does not have any profit. Not even in the world. But it definitely has no profit in the kingdom of God. And we see that in the kingdom of God, in the realm, in the heavenly realm, it has no mention of dust there. So we do see that dust is totally associated with this world and the things that are not of God. That's really good.
No dusty streets in heaven.
No, there's going to be a street of gold. It's going to be spick and span.
Dust, you think of very fine particles that can blow around, that are dry, no light in
the air.
They're bothersome.
God took that and made us living souls. And he remade us a new vessel, eternal souls.
You're talking about how we're born, we grow up, we have children, we die, and then they grow up and they have children and they die, and you're talking about not any progress heavenward. And then you contrast that with the resurrection. And we talks about rising, it talks about we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's the deliverance from the dust. And you kind of touched on that too, and I was just thinking about the cycle around and around and around, back to dirt, and then the trees make it into food, and then we eat it, and we grow. But it's interrupted, and nevertheless, we, according to his promise, that for new heavens and a new earth, will we dwell with righteousness. I like how you brought out that escape from this. We have fled for refuge to lay hold on that hope. And one more thing. In Corinth, there was the man who had his father's wife, and they were to deliver that man to Satan, the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. And I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I thought about that. He was going to be liberated from his flesh through discipline. Maybe isn't even a strong enough word, but through the chastening of God through the church, somehow, but that the goal was that the spirit would be saved.
saved in the lake of fire, souls shall never die. But I guess you could say it's not a quickening trip for a life in the spirit. It's one that, it's just a soul that lives, but not truly a quickening spirit.
Was to
comfort him and to be restored. Okay. Well, let's stand together. Thank you for your attention and comments. Brother Mike, could you have a closing prayer?